Hey, Jason, just listen to the episode. I don't know. I'm thinking about that anchorites. I think you should be more personal. Be screedites or something gross like that. It kind of sounds like something you find in your underpants or something. But yeah, I know what you mean about kind of getting in the funk and everything, especially when things are going good. You get your, you know, you got the games going, you're producing stuff, but sometimes you just kind of empty out and then you got nothing left and you just kind of need that quiet time to recharge. I'm so familiar with that. And anytime you need any fucking help with a zine, you call my ass. I'll help you any second there, Jason. So, hey, we got a game in a few hours. Hope to see you then. Keep on rocking the random screed, enjoying it. So, I hope to talk to you soon.
If he is up or down, his podcast still comes round. Hobbs is in his van. Don't turn off that sat nav, man. Random screed, don't know what you get, but it's what you need.
Hello, screeders. Just like the old days, we're mixing it up a little bit. I hope y'all don't mind. I know I don't. Heading up the show, none other than Tim Shorts from Gothridge Manor. Someday, I'd really like to meet Tim in person and Matt Jackson. Those are two of the guys that I've never met in person that I would like, that I've gamed with quite a bit, honestly. If you don't know who Matt Jackson is, look back in the archives of Anchor and look for Matt Random. Yeah, the guy stole one of my names. It's bullshit. Tim Shorts has been Gothridge Manor. For as long as I can remember, way back in the G Plus days, he's had a Patreon forever. He makes products and sends them to you, even if they're character cards or mini dungeons or whatever. Cool dude. Look him up. Join his patron. You'll be happy. Thanks, Tim, even though I'm positive you don't listen to Random Screed anymore, and I don't blame you. But I would like to say that I'm getting some new listeners, apparently, and I have some more calls. We'll get to that in a minute. For now, I want to say that I want to talk some more about the low fantasy gaming campaign that I'm running with the GRGA, the Green River Gamers Association, circa 1987 when we started it. Still going. I'm not going to say still going strong, but I will say still going. We're holding on. It might be by our bitty bit bits, but holding on nonetheless. NTRPG, or as those in the know call it, NTX, quickly approaching. I'm a special guest this year again. I wasn't last year, but the year before I was. I got no idea why. I think I convinced somebody of something. So expect the TJ Drennan NTRPG Con theme music every episode. I think it's the right thing to know, to do. But I don't know. But I do know. Today is Monday, May 13th, he said questioningly. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hello, Jason. This is Michael. I'm a first-time caller and fan of Hextalk, well, at least previously. I really enjoyed your reflections on this latest episode. First off, I think trying three episodes from a podcast is a great rule. We had a three-bite rule for our kids when they were young and trying out new foods. So, that number seems to work well. Second, your reflection on coming up with ideas that the GM likes made me pause for reflection here. On Cerebrifor, we were just recently talking about how sometimes getting rewards or meta currency from a GM comes down to catering to what the GM likes more than maybe even the rules explicitly in the game. But what you were talking about is like even more fundamental. So like in the case you described, if you throw anything at somebody's face, they're very likely they're going to flinch. So that seemed like a good idea to me. It's still risky if you got a spear pointed at you, but I think in that case you just roll. But is that the way to make it neutral? If you roll when a situation is risky, I suppose that could also be GM dependent too. So if they don't think it's risky, then they might give it to you. Or if they think other situations are risky when you just thought this was going to be very simple, then you still have to cater to what the GM thinks or wants. But can you really avoid that? I mean, if you wanted to roll for everything, that adds a different type of like arbitrariness. You're just always relying on randomness, which we've talked about the word swingy on other podcasts before, but you things that you think should be easy, if you're relying on randomness too much, there's certainly some failures there, but you're still having to decide what is the threshold for success. So that kind of adds back in the GM's opinion or understanding of things. So it does seem to come down to a lot of communication and a lot of trust between the GM and players. But yeah, thanks again for the episode, and take care.
Hey there, Michael. Thanks for calling in. Michael is Merc the Meek on the Audio Dungeon Discord, and he has a podcast that I thought was called Merc the Meek, but I don't think it is. I'm sorry, Michael. I am not a massive purveyor of the Anchorite podcast. I once was, when I was the only one, and there were just burgeoning ones, but now there's so many, I haven't made myself listen to them. It's a whole other thing that you probably hear me talk about if you went back through the back catalog of Random Screed, which I'm not really suggesting for anyone to do. But if, you know, you want to be thorough and learn all those things, you could. But I appreciate you calling in, and yeah, it's a conundrum, and it's one that's existed since the beginning of time in the RPG space. It's all about the contract between player and GM, I think. And even more than that, the unwritten or unvocalized rules that we're going by. And I got another call in from Arlen, from live from Pelham's Wasteland, that goes on fairly long about this subject. I'm just ribbing you, Arlen. Don't take me too seriously. Thanks again for calling in, Michael. And yeah, man, you're totally right. It's a problem.
Hey, Hobbs, it's Arlen. I listened to your most recent episode of Random Screed, and enjoyed it. I always appreciate hearing your rambling discussions of things and all that sort of stuff. So it's good to hear you on the air. I sympathize with your reported experience playing and running into what I think is kind of a classic problem of unspoken expectations, especially. I think it's one of those things that while it sounds really convenient to, you know, for a set of game rules to say, well, just use, you know, common sense for X thing. I think without any additional information, it can be hard to be sure that everyone is on the same kind of set of common expectations, which is what you talked about, this idea that really, even though there's a lot of things, and I think that speaks to often, you know, veterans of the hobby, or, you know, somebody who has played in the same game with the same players and GM for a long time, really have access to that kind of shared set of expectations in general. But with new players, or with a group that you don't play with as often, like a convention group or something, I think it helps, or it can help a lot, to have some type of like a suggestions for touchstones. I think about like, you know, sequences in other media, movies or books or comics or whatever else, of, you know, kind of examples of like, here's what's happening and here's how it seems like it ought to happen mechanically, if it's not obvious in the game. And I think about, you know, there's a number of kind of situations that seem to come up in games that there is, I suppose, some disagreement about. Swimming in armor is a classic one that in real life, it is, of course, not very easy to swim in armor, but it is, with at least some real world armor, at least possible to doggy paddle long enough for somebody to rescue you, which is different than, you know, sinking directly to the bottom. Of course, in a lot of D&D-ish games, the armor weight listed is a whole lot heavier than the real-world armor that's a sort of equivalent. And so you can imagine why it sounds kind of ridiculous to be able to swim in like 80 or 90 pounds of plate mail, if that's what the game describes that armor is weighing. So I don't know if there's a perfect solution. And I think it can also be frustrating to play a game where it feels like you have to look up the rules for literally everything that people want to do that's kind of outside of the easiest and most expected things. You know, games that have really elaborate rule structures, I think it can be helpful to have that sort of neutral ground for rule structures to say like, okay, well, you know, if you want to go swimming in your armor, we go to the Aquatic Adventures Pathfinder book and we look at how they rule it, sort of thing. But I you know, I also certainly sympathize with the experience of having been in games and even running games and feeling like there was some sort of a disconnect, or even only afterwards kind of recognizing that there was a disconnect between kind of what a player or players expected as sort of part of the kind of common sense ruling of the game and what the GM expected. So I don't know if there's a perfect solution, but it seems to me one solution is to have those kind of touchstones to say like, okay, well, here's a sort of general idea of what works and what doesn't.
I don't know that I have a lot to add to Arlen's essay on the subject. Essay, is it the rhetoric on the subject, perhaps? But I will say that I have another caller that had some other questions. He's not the last caller that I got for last episode, and he's not necessarily the best, but he is a great one indeed. It's Aaron Clark, and I mentioned him and his homes in Clark, and sometimes I can get myself into a little trouble.
Hey, Jason, Aaron Clark. I feel very lucky to have heard a real-time random screed recorded on May 12th, published on May 12th, and listened and responded on May 12th. What a fantastic real-time event we're having right here, right now, over the internet. Sure beats my six-year call-in. That was funny. Blast from the past. Whenever that was, 6 years ago, 2018. Wild. Yeah, interesting conversation about GM styles and adapting your play style to fit a GM style. I think we've been facing with that type of situation for many years, but also interesting to hear you sort of, you know, talk about it, try to draw a box around what it is, and I don't know if we have a what to do about it, but that's totally fine too. Thanks too for the call out about Holmes and Clark. You mentioned that it was a bit of a hot mess. I'm curious to hear what's messy about it. But maybe you were talking about the conversations that were going on around the rules themselves. And you mentioned that people are talking about it, but I haven't seen anybody talking about it. They're not talking about it to me. So if you see those conversations or you want to point me at them, great. But, you know, if not, you know, no stress, no skin off my back. You know, that's really just my labor of love, my own heartbreak or whatnot. Anyway, hope you're having a great Sunday. Hope you're celebrating Mother's Day in whatever way you want to. And that's my wife yelling at the dogs. Yeah, Mother's Day. I miss mine. Hope you're celebrating your mom in whatever ways that means for you. Okay, take it easy.
Thanks for calling in, Aaron. And somehow, having your dogs and your wife yelling in the background, not that your dogs were yelling, because that would be weird, but I kind of like that. I think that's perfect for Random Screed. So thank you so much for that call in. I meant hot mess in a loving way. I think mostly when I look at it, I wouldn't say that it's a professional layout. You know, you have portrait in some places and landscape in others. I don't know. I don't even know necessarily. I just feel like it's kind of a hot mess because it feels like it goes all over the place. You have different aspects of rules that are there with lots of different subsystems and rules for different types of engagements. And I'm not saying it's bad or wrong, because you know me, I love the Arnesonian dice concept, and I feel like you've pushed it into a place well beyond anything that I ever did with it. And I like your yes and you know, the throwback maybe to Apocalypse World type stuff, but still within compatible rules with the OSR, which I don't really feel like Apocalypse World rules are compatible. It's just its own set of rules. And I guess when we talk back about the OSR rules, we're probably really talking about traditional Dungeons & Dragons and how a wide array of products can still be compatible to those rules. Like, you could use your system to run Assault on the Area of the Slave Lords easier than you might be able to use Dungeon World. Some people would be very good at it. I'm not one of them. Yeah, I think that covers that, man. I'm a huge fan of Aaron Clark. He knows that, and I want all the Screeders out there to know that they too should be fans of my guy. So, but I did want to add that Aaron also sent me a message and wanted to know what a half level was. Great question. Quite a while, many years ago, when DCC was young, the funnel was quite popular, but many people got sick of the funnel because that's kind of all they played in the convention environment. So some people adapted that. So instead of having multiple characters, you only had one character, but instead of being zero level, you were a half level character, which kind of meant it was an emergent character that you only decided what the character had at the time that you needed to know what that was, even attribute scores, which then turned into the scratch off character sheets that they used, or the advent calendar that was used later by Mark. I can't remember what Mark's last name is for the moment, but he was instrumental in the recent Dying Earth stuff, I believe. And I can't believe I'm not coming up with his name. Sorry, my friends. So basically, you got a character that has some of the aspects of the class that he would like to move into. Like a wizard may have a scroll or two that he can cast a spell off through a ritual, as opposed to just being able to whip it out and having a caster roll and then roll on the table. Or a thief may know, be able to move silently a little better than someone else, or be able to pick a lock where a fighter couldn't. And a fighter maybe is good with a weapon or can still do a mighty deed, but only with a lower deed die or something. It's just not quite a full level, but you're also not a zero level. I don't know if that's a great explanation, but it's not a science. It's more of an art.
It's an orgy, a game, and everybody knows your name.
Vortex and RPG.
The organizer and Satan are one and the same.
Texas RPG Con. First weekend in June at the Westin Inn in scenic Irvin, Texas. Pack those dice bags and a spare liver.
Vortex RPG Con. Vortex RPG Con. Vortex RPG Con. Vortex RPG Con. Vortex RPG Con.
All right, all right. It's already gotten to be a long episode, and I want to say that I have another call in from Jason Connerly that I'm going to wrap into the next episode, I think. I super appreciate all the call-ins. I don't know what else to say about that. It is a true surprise and humbling notion that people are interested in what I have to say, especially a talking head rambling, complaining about my mental bonuses that I have compared to the norm. I don't like to say handicap because I don't even know if that's accurate, but you know, it is what it is. Words are important, but at the same time, we have to remember that words are words. So we'll put Connolly's call in the next episode. For now, I want to give you a little bit of an update on the Dixon Dukes. We had another session, and as Aaron mentioned, he was hoping that I would do something, whatever made me feel right for my mother. My mother is still alive, but she is late onset Alzheimer's. And every day is a new day for her, literally. And I think that is pretty interesting and cool. It's horribly, horribly sad to me and our family. But for her, she's in a place that she enjoys. She has people that she likes. She doesn't. She has memories that are shifty. And they're not always accurate as far as I know or can tell, but she's still my mom. I can't say that we always had the same ideas about the way things that should be in my life or her life, but there's no way to change those things, and all we can do is move forward. So I do the best that I can for her, which is a lot for me, but it may not be what everyone else thinks that it should be. Obviously, I am speaking in tons of vagaries here, but I kind of wanted to add that in since it was an episode on Mother's Day. Aaron was right to bring that up because I am lucky. I still have my mother here, even if it's not in the way that I might like it to be. So thanks for reminding me of that, Aaron. I appreciate it. I was taking my brother to surgery for an injury that he got from a car accident in work 5 months ago. He's finally got through all the workman comp stuff and needed to be driven for an outpatient surgery. He seems fine. We are all hoping everything is better. But I took that opportunity to spend more time where he is and get the group together and play some more low fantasy gaming. The campaign is quite different from what I usually do. It reminds me of the old days running Thieves World with 1.5 Dungeons & Dragons, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, I should be more precise, which was a good time, but it was a strange thing, and the way that it worked was different than what I do today. But and similar in some ways, because a lot of the story is driven by random generation and player decisions and just reacting to them, which some people would say is the way that you should always run. And I think I mostly do, but this is even more random and player-driven stuff. The characters have been able to engage with multiple factions, gangs, cultists, businesses, and it seems like it's pushing in a certain direction, like that the focus is narrowing as play goes on. but I don't necessarily think it's where it should be. The players consist of my brother, Monty, also known as Scorp, my cousin Todd, and my other cousin Dwayne. Dwayne is quite new, hasn't played in years. Todd has played with us, but he doesn't ever really totally seem to invest in a way that makes it seem like he's having a good time. It's been something that I've always wondered about, but he's multiple times told me now that this is the game that he's had the most fun with in a super long time. How long that is, I'm not really sure. I haven't really been able to dig in and put a box around why he enjoys this. But I think it has something to do with the more... We're kind of playing it like Aaron Clark runs his Holmes and Clark game in many ways, where we just kind of talk about it with them directing the narrative through their characters and me directing the narrative through the setting and the other characters that aren't player characters. But they have a lot more leeway because we're not going into dungeons. It's really an urban environment. And I don't want an urban environment where they say, okay, we're going to buy milk. Okay, I'll roll on a random table to see what happens. It's more like, okay, what are you guys trying to accomplish in this week? And then we'll try to figure out how that will work out. Maybe make some rolls, maybe make some contested rolls, which is the process that I'm using for social combat as opposed to physical combat. I think I kind of explained it last episode where it's opposed roles using the low fantasy gaming skill system. So if the opposed role is I am trying to get information from you through gather information, or if I'm trying to get information from you without you knowing that I'm trying to get information, that would then be the deception skill. And if the person who's trying to give you that you're trying to get the information from is also trying to get information from you without you knowing, it would be contested deception with charisma. But you can modify that by one of your attributes, which is decided, you know, through interaction with the GM, through negotiation. So there's a lot of talking about the game, which a lot of times I complain about as a player. But for this game, it seems to be working, which I'm very happy about. If anyone has any questions about specifics, please let me know. I did send out some feelers for people who have random generation and that sort of thing, and for urban random generators or just hints on how to run that sort of game. Let me know. Send me an email, hnfhobbs@gmail.com, or call into the show through my SpeakPipe, which is Random Screed, or, you know, send me a message on Discord, whatever. I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all. It's Tuesday now, May 14th. I started this on May 13th, but pretty good for me. I wonder if I'll settle into a more organized publishing format, like on certain days do call-ins. Nah, probably not. Be good. Do good. Stay alive. You got a job to do. Hit it, TJ.
It's a beautiful day in the game. Oh, what a beautiful day for my gamers. Would you be one? Could you be one? Zara, that's plunder, but don't despair. This colony's breeding great robbers. Would you be one? Could you be one? If an 80% mortality rate works for you, for a few bucks a month you can sign up and have the hogs kill you. So let's make the most of another Sunday. Brew up some coffee and play it my way. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my gamers? Won't you be? Won't you please? Please won't you be my gamers?